I think it would be helpful for you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. This is found on page 1520. 1520 in your Bibles. Just before we came up here, just before the worship, I was talking to one of your members, and he says, "What's the title of your sermon?" And I said, "Water walking." And he says, "Oh, we read a book and had a Bible study by some author. I forget who it was." And I says, "John Ortberg?" "Yes. He wrote a book entitled, If You Want to Walk on Water, You Have to Get Out of the Boat." And so I don't claim an original thought here this morning. He's one of my favorite authors. I love that book. And so he wrote a book on this very passage that we're going to read together this morning. And we're just going to take kind of an overview of this few verses from the book of Matthew. It's the story of Jesus walking on the water and the disciples responding to him. And I'd like you to think about that as we read that. We had it in the children's object lesson this morning, children's story. And now we're going to expand a little bit on what she said to the children. So we begin reading at verse 22. And there is a reason I have you have your Bibles open, because I want you to look at the context of this after a little while. So keep your Bibles open. Jesus walks on water. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the water. Now, did you note that Jesus sends them away in the evening? They are going across the Sea of Galilee. They are buffeted by waves. They are battling the waves. The wind is against them, and it's been going on all night, because it's shortly before dawn. After the disciples are dead tired, living the whole night under stress, battling the waves and not making much headway, that Jesus comes. When the disciples saw Jesus walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said. They cried out in fear. Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, You are the Son of God. That's as far as we read the Word of God this morning. Someone told me a story about three ministers who were part of a ministerial association. There was a Catholic priest, a Lutheran minister, who were real buddies in fishing. They loved to fish, and they'd go out fishing on a regular basis. They discovered that the CRC minister in their fellowship also loved to fish. So they invited him along to go fishing with them one morning. They went out early in the morning. And after a couple of hours, the Catholic priest said, "Boy, I need a restroom." So he got up and he stepped out of the boat and he walked over to the shore to the campground, used the facilities, and came walking back across the water and got into the boat. And the CRC minister looked in amazement. But the Lutheran minister kind of took it in stride. Well, about half an hour later, the Lutheran pastor said, I need to use the facilities too. So he got up and he stepped out of the boat, walked across the top of the water. He went to the facilities, came back walking across the top of the water. Boy, this was really amazing to the CRC minister. They must really have faith. How can they do this? Well, you know, his bladder was filling too. They were out there a long time. So finally he said, "I got to walk across the water too. I got to use facilities." So he gets up, he steps out of the boat and sinks right down. And as he's coming up, coughing and sputtering, the Catholic priest says to the Lutheran minister, "You think we ought to tell him where the rocks are?" Well, when Jesus asked Peter to come and step out of the boat, there were no rocks. And lo and behold, Peter did the same thing that Jesus was doing. He walked on the waters. How do you walk on the water? How do you respond like Peter responded? And what happens? We want to talk a while about that today as we look at this passage. You have an outline in your bulletins, and you can refer to that as you're thinking about this. I want you to look back at your Bibles, and I want you to realize the setting. You know, I'm always amazed at the way God orchestrates things. Last week, your children's story leader said, "You know, we talked about the feeding of the 5,000 last week." I don't think she knew I was going to preach on the succeeding story. I didn't send that message in too early, I don't think. But this is the way God orchestrates these things. And when you look at this passage, I'd like you to understand the emotions that are built into our story today from the Scriptures. If you look at your chapter 14, you see the title first is "The Beheading of John the Baptist." And you know that story. I don't have to go over it with you, I believe. Most of you know that, the beheading of John the Baptist. And shortly before that story that we heard, that was spoken of last week about the feeding of the 5,000, it says that John's disciples, verse 12, came and took his body and buried it And then they went and they told Jesus. Jesus' friend. John the Baptist, the one who had baptized him. And the dove came down, and this is my son in whom I am well pleased. The predecessor of Jesus, the one who had prepared the way for Jesus, had now been murdered. And Jesus just receives the message. And it says, they went and told Jesus, and then when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. You ever feel that way when you receive sad news that you just want to be alone? You just feel alone? Well, that's Jesus. He withdraws to a quiet, a solitary place. But it isn't long, and the crowds find him. And he heals them. He reaches out, and the Bible says that Jesus reached out with compassion, verse 14. When Jesus landed and saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Jesus had compassion. He healed their sick. And then he fed the 5,000. And after that's all over, then you come to verse 22. Once they've been fed, he sends the disciples now off. He says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat, go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. That's Jesus. A man of prayer. A man in touch with his heavenly Father. A man with emotions. A man of compassion. You see, he's just like us. That's what Jesus is. And his emotions are built into this. Now he's up on the mountainside. He's praying. He's by himself. The disciples embark upon their journey across the sea. But then the storm comes up. A storm threatens them. And they battle, they roll, they battle the waves all night long. They're under a great deal of stress. And I'm thinking they would probably say, where's Jesus? Why did he send us out here alone? Why are we out here on the sea all by ourselves? And they feel alone. And then they see this shadow coming across. And the Bible says they are afraid. They're terrified because they think it's a ghost. You didn't say that, but the Bible says they think it's a ghost coming across the sea. And Jesus, in his compassion, says to them, don't be afraid. It's I. It's Jesus. And they're looking. And they're seeing, yes, it must be. Why didn't we know that? But somehow the stress of the moment just didn't enable them to see Jesus coming across to them. Stress has a way of doing that to us, doesn't it? Of clouding our vision. Clouding our vision. And then Jesus speaks out and says, don't be afraid. The one you see, the one who's there, that's me. I'm God who's present with you. And you know what John Ortberg calls water walkers are those who look for the presence of God even in their stress. The disciples probably hit themselves on the head and said, "No, it would be Jesus, not a ghost. Why didn't we realize that?" But stress clouded their vision. And then Jesus began to open their eyes. And water walkers are those who look at their situation, and in their stress, they look for Jesus. They look for the presence of Jesus. And they look at their circumstances in the light of a God who has blessed them year after year after year. We have friends in Kelloggsville who just lost a daughter a week and a half ago. The funeral was this past Monday. They're dear friends of ours. And we gave them a call. We were out of town. We were in Minneapolis and couldn't be there. But we called them, and my friend said, "You know," I said, "we're praying for you. We're with you." And he said, "I know. We feel the presence of prayer. We feel the presence of God because of the people of God." You ever see that? You ever feel that? Have you ever heard people? I'm sure you have. We can tell you're praying for us. That's recognizing the presence of God in the midst of the stress and the circumstances. Water walkers look for the evidence of the presence of God. Water walkers also, number two in your outline, get out of the boat out of his desire to obey. They get out of the boat out of desire to obey. If you're in a boat like that on the sea, I know sometimes you maybe get in rough water if you're a boater. My wife and I like to get in our boat and go down the Grand River and go out the channel. I like to go out the channel. She's a little hesitant. And when we get out into the big lake, she says, "Let's turn around, go back." She doesn't like the rough water. She's not about to get out of the boat, because that boat is a place of security. That boat in the midst of stress for the disciples, all of them, was a point, a place of security when they felt threatened. And I'm wondering if you might think about a place of security in your life that's a boat in the midst of stress. I think of a man named David. His vocation is that of a computer technician. And it's helping him pay his bills, his mortgage, education for the children. But he has this inner sense of calling. Maybe God is telling him and calling him into a different profession, maybe even the ministry. His vocation is his boat. Or Sharon. She's in a relationship. She's been in a relationship with a young man for a long time. And she's wondering if something is going to develop or go on a little further. But she's afraid to ask him because he seems to be ambivalent to the relationship. That relationship is a boat of security that she's afraid to step out of. Or Jerry, a pastor, who's been in the ministry and been in a given church for a long time. He's feeling the need that maybe he's got to move on. But he has his own house. His kids are comfortable here. And yet, he senses that God is calling him someplace else, and yet he doesn't want to go on. Or maybe another person. Secrecy is his boat. Because you see, he is a member of the church, but he's involved in pornography. And he's afraid to admit it and seek some help. What situation might be your boat, your place of security? And yet, in the midst of all of that, you hear God calling and saying, come to me. Trust me. Step out of the boat, that place of security, and go where you are sensing me calling you to go. You see, water walkers are those who desire to obey God. And out of an obedience and desire to obey God, they take the step out of the boat. Because Jesus is calling them. Jesus is moving them to make a change in their life that Jesus knows is good for them. And water walkers are those who cultivate a desire to say, I want to obey Jesus. I want to obey God, even if it means getting out of my comfort zone. I believe God is calling me into this ministry or this place. That's the way it was with me when I got into the ministry. I wanted to be a teacher. But I sensed while I was at Calvin that God wanted me to do what I've done for the last, 40-some years. I'm getting old. But I still remember that night when I said, God, I believe you want me to prepare for the ministry. So I'm going to do that, even though I do not want to go to school any longer. I was halfway through Calvin. I wanted to be a math teacher, but I believe you want me to do this. And I thank God that I took the step out of the boat. Water walkers have a desire to obey God's call. But when they do, water walkers also can be expected to be tested by God. Here's Peter. He says to Jesus, if it's you, bid me to come to you. And he does. He steps over the edge of the boat. He steps out, letting go of the side of the boat, and he begins to walk across the water. Wow! This is great. And there's no rocks there either. And he's just walking across the water toward Jesus. Because Jesus has called him. He's obedient to him. He goes. But then he takes his eyes off Jesus. He feels the wind. He sees the waves. He's being tested. And he begins to sink. And he reaches out, God, save me, save me. And Jesus saves him. Takes him into the boat, and the seas are quiet. And they go forward to the other side of the sea. You know, water walkers, they accept fear as a price for growing in their life. They accept fear as a price for growing in their life. Fear and growth in our lives often go together. If you step out, defy your fear, and begin to walk, you find out that indeed you are growing tremendously in your life because you are obeying God and following Him. But you might fail. And water walkers aren't afraid of failure. Jonathan Salk, the inventor of the polio vaccine, worked for years to develop that polio vaccine. And he tried 200 different types of vaccines before he hit upon the one that worked. And people asked him, "How did you feel when you failed 200 times? He says, "I didn't fail 200 times. I just found 200 things that didn't work." Until finally, he set upon the solution. Water walkers aren't afraid to fail. Because God is the great forgiver and God is the great restorer. Did Peter fail? Yes, he failed. But I believe there were 11 other people in that boat who were bigger failures than Peter because they never got out of the boat. They failed quietly. They failed privately, unnoticed, unobserved, and uncriticized. But what about Peter? Even though he sank, he discovered two things they did not. One was, he knew that when Jesus beckons, you need to obey. You need to obediently answer. And when you do that, you can walk on water. He's the only one of the 12 who walked on water. Isn't that something? Because he obeyed, because he got out, he walked on water. Yes, he sank, he became afraid, but he is the one who walked on water. And secondly, he's the only one in this situation that experienced the glory of Jesus reaching down and lifting him up. Jesus reaching to him in his distress and lifting him up. He felt the hand of Jesus. He's the only one that felt the hand of Jesus there as Jesus reached out and lifted him up. And then finally, in your outline, water walkers always find that when they obey, they move closer to God. They experience the presence of God. You know, I think of the disciples. Remember, they went across all night long. This was a battle for them. They were under great stress. And they might have said, "Jesus, where are you? Why aren't you coming to rescue us?" They waited a long time. Do you ever have to wait a long time for the Lord? I know I've had to do that in my life. You just wait. "Why aren't you answering me, God? Where are you, God?" Like the psalmist would write, Why am I so destitute? But what you find out in the end is that God is always there with you. If you've got your Bibles, I'd ask you to turn with me to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. The psalmist is one who recognized the presence of God. Psalm 139. I didn't get the page of that. He writes in verse 7 and following, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night, even the darkness will not be dark to you. Night will shine like day, for the darkness is as light with you." You know, the storms of life, they threaten. They're dangerous. Maybe you're living in them today. But there's someone who's living with you in that. And that's your God, your Heavenly Father, who calls you His son or daughter. And who loves you so much that He said, "I'll give Jesus for you, my own son, in order that you might be saved." Now this week, God might be calling you to get out of your boat. Might be calling you to step out of that boat and to begin to walk and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and walk toward Him on that water. Look for the presence of God as you go. You know He's there. You've seen it. It's been your experience in life. Remember, Jesus has come. Obey Him. You'll be tested. But you will experience the presence of God in your life like you've never experienced it before. Be a water walker. Let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray specifically for those who came this morning who are on the rough seas of life. And in a special way, you've meant this message for them. I pray, Lord, that they may see your presence, that they may realize that even though it seems like you are passing by, you are right there and you are saying, "Come, step out. You can trust me." And I pray, Lord, that, you know, the sermons come and go and it's hard for us to remember, but Lord, help us in the midst when the storms come to think about this passage of Scripture and to realize your call, Jesus, to come to you and trust in you. We thank you, Lord, for the lessons of Scripture that we get from week to week. Bless Pastor Tom as he brings them to us on a regular basis. And would you use your word to encourage us that we might serve you? In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you please stand?